Northern Michigan University in Marquette is enjoying some recent successes with enrollment and national exposure of some specific programs. The university is also strategically planning its future for a highly competitive and challenging world of higher education. Today on WNMU's Media Meet, we'll get an update on NMU from President Fritz Erickson and Vice President of Extended Learning and Community Engagement, Steve Vandenhoven. A Northern Michigan University update is coming up here on Media Meet. Hello and welcome to Media Meet. I'm your host, Walt Lindela. Joining us today is Northern Michigan University President Fritz Erickson and NMU's Vice President of Extended Learning and Community Engagement, Steve Vandenhoven. Welcome to you both.
Thank you for having us.
Let's start with a general overview. How President Erickson is Northern doing? How's enrollment?
Northern's doing great. Enrollment's up again. We went up in first time freshmen and transfers 9.9% this year. So we've had a two-year increase of 22%, which is pretty phenomenal. We're the only institution in Michigan that went up both in first-time freshmen and in transfer students. So we're getting a lot of kids from a lot of different locations.
Are there trends that you are seeing in particular with some of the students that are enrolling?
Yeah, we're seeing quite a bit of interest in some specific programs. Certainly our new medicinal plant chemistry program has been a big draw and a success. But what really is happening is we're seeing great success and interest in the university because of the community and the lifestyle opportunities that are here in Marquette and in the Upper Peninsula.
You mentioned that particular program. I know that the Frost program has gotten
some
recognition.
Yes, Frost has been great.
Are the enrollment numbers reflecting that exposure? Are you seeing that is spiking it?
Yeah, and it's not just the particular program. It is the exposure from it. You know, we've had a lot of people that have been very interested in the Frost program, but also folks are interested in coming to a university that is on the cutting edge, even if they're not going into those particular programs. Mm-hmm. So the interest is coming in many different ways.
How are funding levels looking for the programs in terms of state funding and for programs and facilities at the university?
Well, state funding always is a challenge, and we really do understand. The state has a lot of priorities and needs. We're certainly part of that. Our commitment is to keep our tuition as low as we can and to be as an affordable college as possible. And we continue to be among the very lowest in the state in terms of our tuition, and we intend to keep it that way.
With these challenges, what are you doing perhaps individually or with some of your colleagues in higher education to try to get the message to the legislature that maybe something needs to be looked at?
Well, we work very hard collectively. We're part of the Michigan Association of State Universities. There are 15 great public institutions in Michigan. We work very well together to collaborate and find ways in which we can share the message of what opportunities exist in all of higher ed. And so our organization, we've all banded together to help people understand the opportunities that Michigan's public universities can provide for students and their families.
Is it resonating?
It's resonating very well. We're beginning to see an increase in the number of students that are looking for some form of post-secondary education. You know, I'm one who doesn't believe everybody needs a four-year degree, but almost everybody needs some form of post-secondary education. And so the idea of providing the wealth of different programs is very important to us collectively and certainly to us at Northern. It's one of the reasons that Steve and his team were instrumental in starting, for example, the NMU truck driving school, because we felt there was that need in the community to do that.
Steve, let's talk about that a little bit in terms of maybe doing some slightly different programs, looking at it and addressing that. What are some of the successes you're having?
Well, as you know, we serve a community college function on the campus of Northern Michigan University. And the state has actually, the governor arranged through the Office of Talent and Economic Development at the state level, something called the Marshall Plan for Talent. And the Marshall Plan for Talent is $100 million so far. That's going to be awarded to communities in which the K-12 community, the university community, mainly focused on their sort of two-year credentials and below, work together to remove the barriers for students to get some sort of higher education experience. And so we've been working really diligently to increase the number of middle college programs that we offer. And the middle college basically allows students to spend a fifth year in high school. And they start taking college courses while they're still juniors and seniors in high school, and then they spend a super senior year in high school, in which they're taking a full load of university courses. So I've
heard about that, in particular with many area superintendents, that is actually a very popular program that has connected very well with students.
It's extremely popular. One of the reasons it's popular is because the state actually helps to fund it, because the students are still in high school, and so there's funding for the students to continue and get some post-secondary education. We've been working really well with our community K-12 partners and with businesses who are telling us what they need in terms of talent. So we're starting new programs like the truck driving school and the medicinal plant chemistry program, but we're also exploring brand new formats as well.
Let's talk a little bit about recruiting. With obviously getting the students enrolled, you're getting the message out there about the university.
Yes.
Tell me about some of the recruiting efforts. I know there's campus visits and family weekends and Wildcat weekends, but tell me a little bit about some of NMU's recruitment.
Our goal is to get students to come visit us here in Marquette. And if we get students to come to the UP and come to Marquette, we get them to come to school at Northern. It's pretty much that simple. We were delighted that this fall we had the largest fall recruiting weekend in our history. We packed the place with students, with their families. They were here for the whole weekend, enjoying all that there is. And again, when people come and they walk down our streets and they are greeted by people with smiling faces, and of course we have beautiful fall weather right now, which is great. All of those things play an important part. It's probably a too crass a way to say it, but what we sell is we sell a lifestyle. And the lifestyle is what attracts students here to our great academic programs.
It's also interesting that it's not just a direct effect of traditional students coming to campus. We find that students and their parents who come and visit here are sold on the lifestyle. They really like the feel of the city and of the area. And we find that helps for areas like our global campus that offer completely online programs.
Right.
And so people kind of fall in love with the university and the area and want to be part of it, even if it's at a distance.
And I did want to talk to you about that in terms of technology being a tool in recruiting for the university. Obviously, it tells the university story, the Northern, the Marquette story, to people that maybe can't get here. How does that work? How does technology work in recruiting efforts for NMU?
Well, one of the ways that we're leveraging technology is through the Educational Access Network. And as you know, it was launched a couple of years ago now and provides access to educational broadband to families across the UP. And it started out being basically an NMU-centric piece of technology, basically for our students to either, engage them when they're out in the hunting season in November. They're out hunting, they can still engage with the university. I'm not sure how often that happens, but it's at least, and as you know, it's expanded, and we've gotten permission from the FCC to expand beyond Marquette and beyond the county, and now we're bringing educational broadband network to communities across the UP and to students across the UP. So we have a number of subscribers who have children in the K-12 districts who just simply can't compete and do their homework because they don't have access to educational broadband. Well, now they do. So we have 22 sites throughout the UP right now. We're getting ready to add another 10. We're hoping that 5 of those are going to be ready to go before the snow falls here.
Educational Access Network, is that being recognized nationally as part of an overall effort to increase broadband for educational purposes?
Yeah, it certainly is. In fact, you know, getting the spectrum is a challenge through the FCC. They don't give out spectrum anymore for you to run these wireless networks on. And they gave one to Northern Michigan some years ago. I think it was 2008. We developed the WiMAX system, and that was mainly for our students and mainly local. We did such a good job with it that the FCC gave us additional spectrum and allowed us to expand across the UP. And so the chairman of the FCC, President Erickson, and a couple of other colleagues from Northern Michigan visited the chairman. He was elated. We're setting a national model for what a university should do to make sure that people have educational broadband access.
As we continue here, we talk about bringing people to Northern. We talk about getting them to Marquette. You have to have something for them to see, to
Absolutely.
Be at. Let's talk a little bit about some of the campus facility upgrades that are going on right now. Very visible for many in the community that many major projects are underway. What are some of the big projects being done?
Well, we've been very fortunate. We set off 3 years ago very intentionally to enhance the quality of the facilities that we have. World-class institutions have world-class facilities. And so that's what we were all about. We started, we really began this journey with taking a strong look at our residence halls. Our residence halls were tired and old, and some people told me they were tired and old 50 years ago. And we made the decision to enter into a public-private partnership, the first one in the state, where we developed a mechanism to build what we believe is the finest living learning environment that exists on any college campus anywhere in the country. And we just finished the complete project this fall. Most notable to that is our lodge, which we opened mid-year. We felt it was really important to have a facility where students could gather, rest, engage with each other, place to hold talks, community events. And so we built the lodge. No one's seen anything quite like this.
And that's in the midst of a cluster of buildings.
That's right.
Residence
there,
halls.
There are 6 buildings. Each building houses about 200 students in them. Mm-hmm. And all of it is indoor. All of it's connected by an indoor main street. Some of our alums think we're getting a little soft to not walk outside, but I can tell you our students today are very pleased with what we've done.
I was going to ask you that. Is what the university is doing, is that what today's student wants?
It very much is. Today's students expect a level of amenities. 93% of kids today grow up with their own bedroom. And not like me. I grew up sharing a room with my brother. He still reminds me of it. And so we needed to make sure we had the full range of options for students. And it has been very successful, and we're already looking at how do we expand that.
And President Erickson used the term living learning. So not only are there some pretty comfortable living arrangements, but there are learning opportunities within the residence halls as well. And so some of these changes to the campus facilities involve classroom space, tutoring space, so that students can find places to study either outside of class, and we're making some changes to the classroom setting as well. Mm-hmm. That's expanding beyond just the physical presence of the campus as well. We're in mid-October, we opened what we call Studio 102. It's an online media production studio to help faculty with their online presence, to make our distance students much more engaged and comfortable in that classroom as our on-campus students are here on campus.
And our facilities are extending out. The other major project that's underway right now is the new University Center.
Yes.
And we're looking at renaming it as the Northern Center. And it's designed to have between a 1,200 and 1,300 seat ballroom, first rate, facility, not only for our students, not only for our faculty, but also very much for our community. And so we see this as a valuable community resource.
I'd like to remind our viewers and our listeners, especially on the radio side of the dial, that we are getting an update today on Northern Michigan University from NMU's President Fritz Erickson. Also with us is Steve Vandenhoven, Vice President of Extended Learning and Community Engagement. Let's talk about master planning then, because it all fits into that. I know you're in the midst of that right now, setting the future course of the university. What are some of the things in the works?
As we lay out our physical campus and look at what the modern campus looks like, we're having a lot of discussions really centered on the idea of being a more pedestrian, more environmental, more bicycle-friendly focused campus. And it's been a great set of discussions on campus on how to do that. And recognizing that, you know, we all need to park. And so how do you create the right balance with that? How do you have the kinds of facilities that really enhance the learning experience? And we're very excited about
this.
I'm
curious, are students, when they're coming to the university as freshmen or sophomores, are they coming with cars?
They are. We're one of the few universities that allows freshmen, incoming freshmen, to have cars. But we have a lot of students that don't have cars. Yeah. And as I explained to parents, If your son or daughter doesn't need a car, don't bring one, because come February, when they forget they better dig it out of that snow pile, they'll just get buried in, and they're in for a couple of days of trying to get a snow out of a plowed-in bank.
As you're looking at master planning for the university, obviously you can look at the layout, you can look at buildings, but you know, Steve, I'd be curious from you, what technology challenges and things are you looking to address with master planning?
That's a really good question. We haven't talked extensively about technology needs in terms of the master plan. So far to date, it's been focused mainly on layouts of buildings. Another major theme that's come out of that is trying to build a sense of community, and we have a pretty large campus, right? And to make sure that there's an academic mall where many of the students, you know, would engage academically. As you know, we've put the new Wildcat sculpture right in the middle of that academic mall. But to make that give that a sense of place and to develop some tradition there, and then to try to connect that with sort of the other side of the street with the dome and the PEEF and the athletic complex over there.
Yeah, I'm sure that the technology is a challenge, because it's hard to predict what will be needed in 15 years if you look back on the last 15.
And we're completely wired as a campus. I mean, you know, some of the discussions that we previously had, we have a long tradition of being pretty far ahead of the curve in terms of technology with the laptop program and a completely wired campus no matter where that you go. But we'll have those discussions sort of after we talk about what the physical, because that's where the real heavy lifting is right, to erect buildings or move people from one building to another. That's really the major focus of our team right now.
Another part of planning for the university's future is what programs are successful,
that's right,
what are not. You're in the midst right now of SRA, or strategic resource allocation. What is this process and what is the goal?
So the goal is to really lay out the roadmap for the future of the university. That's at its most fundamental level. And that is in thinking of what kinds of programs do we see in the future? How do we create the kind of environment to be nimble and responsive to our students' needs and our community needs? How do we create an environment that really promotes academic entrepreneurship? How do we support economic development? All of these pieces go into making a decision on what's the mix at the university. And, you know, look, there are some things that have lived long and fruitful lives in the academic environment that really do need to change and need to reimagine themselves. And the SRA process is about that, as well as about creating new opportunities.
So what is the process? What are you doing?
Yeah, we've had a very engaged process. We've had two committees that worked all much of last year and all through the summer that that looked at every one of the programs we have on campus and made a recommendation. That included academic and non-academic, over 350 programs, mm-hmm. carefully analyzed in terms of what contribution do they make to the lives of our students. That's mm-hmm. the overriding piece. And so now we are in the process of looking at those individually, as well as creating the broad framework for which all this comes together. You know, much of higher ed is built on the concept of learning one thing and learning it really well. Mm-hmm. We call that a major. But in today's environment, employers, students, others are looking for skill sets that are broad and diverse. And so how do we create the kind of environment that allows students to develop multiple skills that they can use to begin a career with, that they can use as middle career and certainly end of career skill sets?
Some of the students stepped up and said they felt like they weren't as involved in this process.
Yeah.
You know, what's your thoughts on that? And is that a good thing that they stepped forward?
It is always great. We kind of have a saying around here, when in doubt, ask the students. And we didn't ask the students as much as we should have early on in the process. The real input we need from students is from all these recommendations. When we put a single recommendation that pulls it all together, that's when we really need their feedback. Mm-hmm. Less so on the individual analysis of the biology program, for example, more so on the big picture. So we're really looking forward to the students, the community, to everyone really weighing in on what the university should collectively look like.
Is this going to be an ongoing process then for the university?
I think it will be. We'll finish this process.
Right.
We'll take a deep breath. It's been an amazing amount of work. But then we'll continue to really review the programs that we have mm-hmm. to make sure that we are making the kinds of investments that we should mm-hmm. As a university.
It's really a reflective process, right? Mm-hmm. And I would imagine we won't go through this very formal process of the SRA every year, right? I think we've been talking about maybe every 5 years.
It would be like a strategic planning process, otherwise, that you would look at resources as you would look at facilities.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. But we expect that every program and every person in every program is going to be very routinely reflecting on what it is that they do. Are we still serving students in the way that they need to be served? And that's not something you wait every 5 years to do. That's something that you come to work and you do just about every day.
One of the things that is a very well-seen external factor of Northern is its athletics programs, mm-hmm. hockey, football, yep. and other programs. What is that strategy with using athletics in terms of recruitment and getting the word out about NMU?
Well, for so many, athletics is a front door to the university. It's how quite often community members connect with the university, participate in the life of the university. The same thing happens with the arts. We have amazing arts programs. Yes. And whether it's the theater or music, it's the same kind of opportunity for connection. And so we're very excited about where we're going with athletics. We've broken the mold, if you will. You know, most universities have been cutting back on athletics. We've been adding sports and will likely continue to add sports.
Is there
sports.
A risk to that?
There's always a risk to that, but if you're not willing to take a risk now and then, you are really doomed to mediocrity. And so the fact that we took the risk over the last couple of years and added men's soccer, which has been great, we added men's swimming, which is phenomenal. I mean, it's amazing, nationally ranked, and they've been in existence for just 3 years. We added women's golf, and if you're a golfer, these are some amazing, amazing golfers. I've had the good fortune to get to know them. And we added my personal favorite, women's lacrosse.
How does this all work in terms of, especially with successful programs, telling the university's story?
I think it works because, one, is student athletes are amazing students. And they come and they help share their experience. And when you have these amazing student athletes, they connect with other students in their hometowns, and they help tell our story. There really is literature that says for every athlete that you bring, student athlete that you bring to campus, they bring more than one student with them. So that kind of connection really, really pays off. And, you know, besides, athletics is fun. We're really enjoying, you know, we have hockey that's doing really well. If you want to watch great hockey, you come to Northern on a Friday or Saturday night, and you'll see amazing hockey. It pulls the community together. We've got a great student section. You know, there's a lot of cheering, a lot of identity with the university. So we're excited about it all, and we're continuing to look at other kinds of athletic opportunities, including right now we're working with the NHL to explore women's hockey, which we think is a very exciting opportunity. We don't know if we can make it happen or not, but you never know unless you ask and whether you explore it.
We've got just about a couple minutes left here, but I guess I'll ask both of you, what's the general health of Northern?
Well, I think Northern is in an amazing place right now. This is an amazing university filled with faculty and staff that could be at among the most prestigious institutions in the country, but they choose to be here because of the opportunity to work with students and the incredible lifestyle that we all get to live. We couldn't be healthier.
And we seem to be growing in just about every facet of the university, whether it's the global campus and distance students or on-campus students. We just seem to be the place to be right now because of all the experimenting and the risk-taking that we're doing. And not only are we going through this strategic resource allocation process where we might move resources from one place to the next, we're really exploring how to be nimble so that when the world changes, and it changes pretty fast, that we can be more responsive than anyone else.
If people want to find out more about the university, either about the EAN or just in general, what's a good way to do that?
There are multiple ways to connect with us. You can certainly, you know, all of our electronic means, stay connected with us, you know, from any of our news service reports. NMU Today, we launched this year, has been a great, great tool. But just come to campus. And if you need a tour, I'm a really good tour guide. I'll be glad to give you a tour.
Well, as an alumni, it's been a pleasure having you gentlemen here to talk about Northern Michigan University, but that is about all the time that we have for today.
Thanks,
we've been joined in the studio by NMU President Fritz Erickson and Vice President of Extended Learning and Community Engagement Steve Vandenhoven at Northern. Until next time on WNMU's Media Meet, I'm Walt Lindela. Thanks for watching.
The preceding program was produced in studios located in the Edgar L. Hardin Learning Resources Center by WNMU-TV, Northern Michigan University Public Television.